Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. As always, we're happy to have you join us here of late on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, right here based out of Nashville, Tennessee, but sounding off everywhere. We hope that you will be able to join us here. And, look like we may have an issue with our internet connection here. Okay. There we go. Look like we were having a few issues with our internet connection. I'm not sure what's going on. Okay. We're back. Stay with us, y'all. It's Tuesday night. Here we are in September the 12th, 2023. And we open up the mic to you again tonight. Happy to extend that to you. The number to call here is 563-999-3617. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. And what I'd like to do is to, again, open up the microphone to you. Next week, and the following week, we have some great guests that are coming on to give us perspective on some real issues that are facing us right here in urban America. All right, you've heard me talk a lot about issues challenging urban American families and young people. And we've offered most recently to proffer some solutions. Well, I've had the occasion to speak with some gentlemen who got some great ideas, and I was thoroughly impressed with their positions. And they'll be coming with us next week. We endeavor to have our first guest on next Tuesday. That's going to be the 19th, Mr. Harry Green out of Chicago, Illinois. You do not want to miss that, okay? And then the following Tuesday, the 26th, we expect to have Mr. Monte Gillespie. You don't want to miss that one. Let me just say it like that. Those I anticipate those being some very robust conversations, and we'll try to get the word out there the best we can, as many folk as we can. And we'll be promoted on the Facebook and so forth and so on. But do plan to join us on the 19th, next Tuesday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time right here on Talk Straight, as well as Tuesday, September the 26th, right here on Talk Straight, 7 o'clock p.m. Central. All right. Well, I hope to have my good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, join us tonight, and even you, 563-999-3617 is the number to call. I've noticed some of the things that are going on around the country. I'll just speak until I get a call from any of our good people there. Feel free to post your question or comment in Facebook if you're following the slide. We're happy to do that. And even after the show is over with, I do work hard to go back and check any follow-up comments. So if you have something, you heard something on one of our shows, and it struck your interest or piqued your curiosity, feel free to post that there, and we'll work to get back with you. And often that helps us to continue the dialogue, okay? So want to encourage you to do that as well. I just looking at some of the issues that are going on here in Nashville, we have a mayoral election. I'm not sure what's going on in your city or your state, excuse me, but locally we have a mayor's election, and there's a runoff. There are two candidates, and I look at Chicago, Illinois, my former home, and what happened in this most recent election. And there was, actually, there was two candidates. One, both of them were considered to be Democratic or liberal, right? And the choice was for the people to make, frankly. They chose a younger gentleman who were more idealistic, I would argue, just listening at his positions, about governance, right, and how you go about responding to the challenge and the needs of citizens. Well, currently, He is currently the mayor, and the city is having some interesting challenges. Crime is a major challenge. The challenge with immigration, illegal immigration, individuals coming across and being sent to Chicago and desiring to go there. I was most recently there in the city, and I saw with my own eyes how individuals in large numbers encamped out in front of police stations. Not one, not two, but numerous police stations. It was quite eye-opening. Same thing is going on in New York, right? But one of the things that is related to is the fact that a few years ago, some people said we need criminal justice reform. We've kind of talked about that on here. Others said we need bail reform. Others said we need social justice to be brought to the forefront. Okay. One might argue that that's somewhat of a social experiment because we've had a criminal justice system. Arguably, it was not perfect, and we the people make it what it is, right? But what we've seen is that the idea of reform is things like allowing individuals who engage in criminal behavior to be let back out because they don't have to pay a bail, because they can't afford it. The argument is, well, this is too hard on them. They can't afford to pay a bail to get out, so they'll stay in jail until their trial, and they should be allowed to go free. Well, let's understand how they got there through some criminal act. Position is don't commit the crime, right? And more importantly, how can we here on Talk Street offer information, guidance, and support to individuals such that they understand why it's important not to and how not to get caught up in the criminal justice system? We've had that discussion on here as well. But nonetheless, the argument is, you know, They're indigent. Many of them are poorly educated, right? And that's not fair that they represent such a large percent of the incarcerated. I agree with that, that they should not. The question, friends, is how do we encourage individuals to be productive citizens, law-abiding productive citizens? Is there anything wrong with being law-abiding? That's a good question. If you think the laws of your city, your state, your nation, your country are unjust, there is a process by which you can, as a voting citizen, be involved in changing that, modifying that. See what I'm saying? And so, again, you know, we just, if there's something wrong with our society, you're in a position to change that. And, you know, how do we get by doing that? I know I hear people say all the time, having run as a candidate in political race, oh, man, ain't no need of me worrying about participating in voting. Those people going to do what they want to. They're going to do what they want anyway, no matter who I vote for or if I don't vote. Well, okay, I can't say you're entirely wrong there. Other than to say that the more organized the electorate is, that means the people, the voters. I'm not talking about established parties or groups or organizations seeking to promote their interests, flex their muscles. But I'm talking about the voting class of people that are unified in one thought. And that is, irregardless to what your ethnicity is, what your level of income is, your level of education, any of those things, we all are American citizens, and there are certain basic things that we all should be entitled to as citizens, or not should be, are entitled to, right? You pay taxes. Henry Campbell Black in Black's Law Dictionary, and that is basically a dictionary of a lexicon of the judicial, the courts, has all these terms that are commonly used in our court system here. He defines a citizen as being a member of a political community. Well, what does that mean? That simply means that where you live, there are boundaries. They're called precincts, voting precincts. They're the smallest level of political boundaries where people have the opportunity to voice their say and participate in government in your voting precinct. You with me? And beyond your voting precinct, they're made up, and they make up, I should say, wards or councils, depending on where you are, right? And those wards and councils make up the basis of the boundaries for your House of State Representative districts or Senate and Senate districts. Beyond that, your United States House of Representative boundaries and districts. And further, your United States Senate. So there is an... Look like my internet connection is really tapping out here. So I hope you guys can hear us. I hope you're not missing us too much here. I'll have to figure out what's going on with our internet here at our location, at our makeshift studio here. Okay, it looks like we're back there now. Okay. All right. I think we are connected now. We've been having a lot of issues here, unfortunately, with I'm not sure what it is. Our internet provider has been challenging to meet this obligation. Won't get into that. Hopefully we are back with it. Hope we won't have any more problems. We were disconnected from Facebook earlier. I hope we get back there. I hope you can hear us live, excuse me, on the podcast network, though, on Blog Talk Radio. I was just talking about the various levels of political boundaries where people, as Henry Campbell Black says in Black's Law Dictionary, you are members of a political community, whether you're active in it or not, whether you know it or not. And since you are, and since you are affected by laws and policies, right, that are brought forth by your legislative representative, you should be informed reasonably on this. Then you should be an expert. Not to be a lawyer or anything like that. But you should at least be informed and participate, you know? And that's the thing that keeps us from being caught up where everybody's pushing you around. Everybody's dictating you, and you have little to no say. All right? 563-999-3617. I got my good friend, co-host, been in here with us for about 7 years now. That's Ricky Waller. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Hey, man. All right. Let's see. Pastor Backer.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, it's open mic again tonight, Pastor. I ran in here and jumped on the studio. And we wanted to open the mic. We're going to have, I announced earlier that we're going to have two gentlemen, one out of Chicago and the other out of Everett, which is a suburb of Seattle, Washington. They will be bringing some interesting perspectives to us, Pastor. One on the 19th next week, and the other on the 26th the following week. The other gentleman is out of Chicago. And we're just talking about how do you keep, how do you empower yourself, Pastor, to keep focused about what you get a comment or opine on.
You say how to do what now? Say it again.
How do you position yourself as a citizen, someone with a right, keep other folk from manipulating you and taking advantage of you, pushing you around? You follow what I'm saying?
Okay,
and particularly I'm talking about the government and what have you.
Yeah, well, that's a powerful question right there. Keep someone from pushing you around. It's like when they have the advantage over you, you know, it's hard to
know
what to do when you want to have the advantage, because the advantage means that you don't know what to do to stop it.
Right, right.
But
right.
When you learn, it's nothing too hard, you know, for God. When you put God in, give you the instructions on how to deal with it a lot better. But
okay.
In the midst of it, you're going to need some direction, some guidance, some understanding, and things like that in order for it to be effective. And that's a tough thing to have to deal with, especially when you're up under the not knowing how to stop it. And it could be stopped, but it's just knowing how. I think that's what you're saying. How can you stop it? Well,
right.
There's a lot of information, but not enough time to tell it all on how. But you got to start somewhere.
Right,
and,
right.
Being that you have to start somewhere, it's always good to find out what the starting point could be, because you're talking about the government, how they're pushing you around, shoving you around, and it's a thing that it may seem like it's unstoppable, you know, when one has advantage.
Right. And that's what I was saying, that there are individuals who just throw their hands up and surrender, said, I don't even care to try to make things better in my community, because people are going to do what they want to. My fellow citizens, the police, the mayor, the governor. So what's the point of me even worrying about it? I was recently in Chicago. People are frustrated with all of the immigrants that have come there, and they've taken over the spot for the homeless, man, where the homeless used to hang out. They've taken over their spot. You know, I mean, literally had mattresses, all kind of stuff, man. And so people are like, you know, hey, it's just dog eat dog. I don't agree with that, but I do know that there's a way. You pay taxes. Don't pay your taxes and see what happens. Don't own no property or nothing. Because Uncle Sam coming after you. Huh? Don't pay them taxes.
Yeah.
Don't try to have no license or nothing like that. Uncle Sam will come after you. Somebody tell me he won't. Somebody prove me I'm wrong. I'm just saying. And so since that's the case, like you ought to be able to have some say. Does that seem reasonable, Brother Bridget? At all?
She would have some say. That's right. She would have some say.
But yeah.
That advantage is a big thing. That advantage is a tool that's being used. And when one has the advantage, man, it's like going playing ball. And nobody wants to play ball. They're going to win all the time. You ain't got no competition, you know. But when it's equal share,
right.
When it's equal share and you play the game, it's a lot better. But it
okay.
sounds like it's equal share. But let's be honest with ourselves. How could it be equal share when you have the advantage? That's not equal share.
That's right. That's right.
Like
that's
you're in a race, and you know, and I run real slow. I don't run real fast. I don't have the speed. And then you have the speed. And yeah, that's why they call me Fat Ricky. You know, my nickname was Slow Motion. You call me like that. So you weren't expecting me, you know, to get across, you know, the finish line first because I didn't have the speed. So if the ones who had the advantage, they could spot me and still beat me. But at least they gave me a chance. But if you got total advantage and you're not spotting me, you're not saying, okay, I know that you don't know anything about how to live and you're going without and I have everything.
Right.
So how can I win when you got everything? And that's one of the tough things about life. You look around and you say, I don't have nothing, but the others, you know, they have everything. And then I'm not making an excuse. I'm just keeping it real and saying, hey, look around. You know, just think if I had these things, then it would be equal share.
Right. Which, as you were saying that, I was thinking about the paralyzed man at a place called Pool of Bethesda, right? And he had been there 30 years, man, making the same excuse, but not taking care of himself. Now, do we beat him up? Because he was paralyzed, according to the text. But what we learn is that even if you find yourself in a paralyzed situation, as you said earlier, the power of faith in God can change that for you. So that's where his opportunity came. When he met him.
That's what happened. That's how change took place. It wasn't that he wasn't willing to do it. He just didn't have that opportunity. And then when the Waymaker showed up, and, you know, he was using the same thing, but you can tell it wasn't no excuse because he was ready because he heard something that was different, you know. And, of course, he was ready then. And that's what it takes.
Well,
you never know,
man. Is it possible that prior to meeting the man, every other year he had the same result, even though he sat there and others saw him? And he had a history with other people. In fact, they put it in the book. It was such a strong, right? But because he assumed in his mind, until he saw the man. See, the man started talking to him, Pastor. The man started talking. Mm-hmm. He asked a question. He said, what you want to be made on? He said, but, you know, I've been there all these years, and everybody go back there where they do their thing. I'm the only one out here ain't got nothing. I'm the only one I ain't got nothing. And he started talking to him and said, but do you want something? I'm paraphrasing. But you want, man. If you want it, go get it. Look out. That'll preach right there. Pat. If you want it, go get it. Don't get up and go get it.
Well,
It's
a situation that it was a need. And he was basically very humble because he kept showing up. He just needed to hear the right voice.
Wow.
Talk is really, really cheap. You know, that that Come same on. Person who was saying that all them times he showed up didn't have the power in his talk. He was just talking loud and saying a lot of nothing. But you know that I would have loved to have gotten in there a long time ago. That's the main action. I'm here. I'm here. I don't know how to
right.
do it. And that's where
right,
and
right,
that's where
right.
I come in at about having the advantage of knowing how to do it. And if a person know how to do it, they'll take a chance and say, okay, well, let me go ahead and take a chance. But that he didn't get that energy out of it, apparently, because he didn't go. And it took that long, man. And then all of a sudden, he had that experience.
The right conversation would do it, won't it? And watch
it
this.
Do it.
Here's another thought we can derive from that. You got to talk to the right people that can say something to you. You know what I mean? Have a conversation with folks that can be useful to you, because I would imagine that he had a conversation with others in those 38 years, and no one had anything that was positive for him. Huh?
Didn't mean
that
well.
Was like
it didn't mean well.
Uh oh. Uh oh.
Possibility they didn't mean well.
He is. In one instance, he meet this man, and bam, he dropped it on him.
Mm-hmm. Suddenly, it happened.
Automatically.
Yeah.
And what the text says is that the man's life changed forever.
Mm-hmm.
I say to my friends, that it is possible for your life to change, not for the worse, but for the better today. Now. It's open mic. Open mic. So you notice I hadn't laid out no prescribed or prepared monologue, because I want to hear from you. 563-999-3617. I know that my internet has been cutting up over here, Pastor, all day.
Mm-hmm.
I have to call the people. I pay them for the internet to find out what's going on, man.
Yeah,
give me some of my money back. I'm telling them fast while I say, give me some of my money back. it's been cutting in and out, but I think we're good right now. Oh, Facebook, the original live stream that we started got cut off a couple of times, so hope y'all can follow us again. Jump on in here. Get in where you fit in. I got my main man now, Pastor Rick, follow on with us. So, but Pastor, give me some good news, man. Tell me what's going on your way. What's going on out there in the streets, man?
Man, it's a loud voice. It's a cry, man. You know, the cry is silent, but it sounds loud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that means that, you know, it's, you're not being fooled by the quietness. You know, sometimes it seems like things are fine. That would be a beautiful thing. But then you go and look at the news later on, and you find out that same ongoing, nonstop, self-destructive wave is still being applied. And so until it stops, we'll realize that it's not working. And that's the thing about it. It can be stopped. But how? How do you go about doing that? So go back to that. And
right,
it's a simple
right.
solution. Put God first, which is not being done. I know that's not being done. There's no way I can, you know, can pretend like that's being done. It's not being done. Because to put it first means that you're going to learn some of his ways, and you don't have to know everything about it, but you learn some of his ways, and it would get things in perspective. You'll start having people with compassion and, you know, people showing love and realizing how, you know, and you're talking about the people that you mentioned now, about those people who seem to be having the advantage. And when you have a compassion to go with having the advantage, it would humble you. And then when it humbles you, you have a heart to give, you discover that the word says it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Okay.
And you learn that. But you have to learn that.
Well, that's true.
I'm not talking about reading it. You have to learn that, man. That's, you know, learning behaviors, brother, is powerful. I think that's something that we could be looked into. What is it going to take for people to have a heart to know that you have people starving, you know, people having more than enough, and things like that. You know, when you know there's enough food here for every man, woman, boy, and girl, when you know that and you refuse to say, okay, I got what it takes and I'm willing to not throw away. I mean, could you imagine how many times they go and throw away a lot of things, man, that they could, you know, wrap up and give to somebody?
Sure.
So,
look,
things like that.
Look back. Before they throw them away, guess what they do? They count them the what they would have earned from it before they throw it away.
And still get it.
So that because they gonna get money off of that's gonna be their write off. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
they're gonna get
it's something. So it ain't gonna hurt you to give it to some. But now that's the business are in business to make money though, right? What's wrong with that, brother?
No doubt about that. No doubt about that, man.
Okay. All right.
No doubt about that. They're in it to make money. That's why they got the cash registers there and things like that. So you know they're there to get the money.
What?
And, you know, definitely there to get the money.
That's right.
But
if
nobody
can
spend,
that's right. I'm with you.
Yeah, but listen, if nobody come there to spend the money with you, then you still got it. You just be counting and you're not going to steal any of it. But if people come and purchase from you, that means that it's working. And but since I'm going to throw all this away, I may as well just pack it up and go somewhere. If you don't put it out there in front of your building or nothing like that, just go give it to somebody, man. Just have a heart to give. Look here, I say this, and it's just a solution to a simple problem. Surely there's some people that you feel should be hungry.
Yeah.
And all these businesses, man. I'm not talking about when they sell out of the food, you can't knock that. That's a beautiful thing. They sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But to have all that left over, man, and take it straight and throw it away, when you got people starving, man, people living just for a dollar. Couldn't get a hamburger, man. Couldn't get a sandwich. And you're throwing all this food away, and somebody could be at the door asking for just a sandwich from what they know you're going to throw away.
Yeah.
Now, some people that have a heart, I'm sure, would give it to them. I like to believe that. I don't want to say everybody's like that.
I know a few people like that, I know some people like that that are in business. Yeah, they go out their way to, you know what I'm saying? They try to help the less fortunate.
Yeah.
But you, by and large, in America, we waste more than, my goodness, more than necessary for sure.
Yeah, because when you're in the business, you know, you're in it to make the money. That's nothing wrong with that. That's not taking anything away from that. But you're talking about equal share. And you know, if you don't know what it's like to be in that position, and then you don't consider yourself being in that position, that it could have been you in that position, then no, you won't be trying to wrap up nothing to get nobody. Because it all comes down to being all about you then. It's about me. It's about me, and that's just where it is. But if you consider yourself being in that condition, man, it's like, let me help somebody. You know, put somebody in my path that I can help. And, man, I tell you, life would be so much I think the government will discover that life is showing up better now, because look at the peace that it brings. Look at the compassion it brought forth. When you look at the news now, all you want to do is look at the news and see what the weather is and things like that. You're not going to be seeing news about people doing certain things. Some people are hungry, man, and they're doing the best they can, you know, and that's just the way it is. Everybody don't have the kind of money like that. Everybody don't have a lot of money.
That's true. That's true. I was just going to say they're hungry in more than one way. You know what I mean? And as you notice, when a man get right desperate and hungry, it's no limit to what he do, because that animal instinct of society comes
survival
comes out.
And you can be hungry. You can be hungry for something that ain't no good also, because it has gotten to that point. And what happens? You have an innocent person, and an innocent person, man, you know, never done anything wrong in their life, man. Probably all of a sudden they go and do some harm to somebody, end up in prison for 50 years, man, knowing good and well that person wasn't even that kind of person, man. I've seen that happen, brother. I've seen it happen.
In fact, there are a lot of people locked up for killing.
Brother still locked up now. I know one is still locked up right now, man. Used to drive the church bus, man. Brother wasn't nothing but innocent. Man, the man drove a church bus, man. Just as kind as he can be, man. Won't bust a grape. Man, won't do nothing to harm nobody, man. And that one thing, when them demons take over and get a grip on you, brother, you forget all about who you were, man.
Well, now, that's interesting. Next week, Mr. Green is going to come on from Chicago, and that's what he was talking about. I don't want to give too much away, but that's exactly what he was talking about. What put to that edge now? And we got a lot of good brothers. Like, they're at the point, they don't even know it, Pastor. I ain't going to give it out too much. But they don't even know it. They know why and how they're at that point of snapping. But like you're saying, when it happens, you can't take it back, can you?
No, it's there at that point.
You know?
It's there at that point.
It's like toothpaste coming out. You can't put it back in the, in the tube.
That's just it, brother.
Wow, that's something. That's something to think about. Sir, okay. Well, let me just remind our listening audience that it is open mic. That means you have the floor. If you have some of interest or comments you'd like to make, my good friend Pastor Ricky Wall and I are just here having a good old gingerly conversation right now. And on Talk Straight, it's your host, Brother Doctor, 563-999-3617. Number you can call, 563-999-3617. Number you can call tonight right here in the studio. And I'm sure he don't mind. He'll entertain your questions and comments. No, he don't mind.
That's right, brother.
That kind of guy.
It's all right, you know, if they got something that, you know, they would like to bring up concerning the things we're talking about. Sure, man, it's not something that is wrong. It's just something to have a little talk about. And then once you have a little talk, you can find ways and means to do something about a simple problem. But if it's not a simple problem, then it's a hard problem. And if you don't know the difference between a simple and a hard problem, it's a complicated problem. So to keep it from being complicated, let's go into the solution and then find out what can be done with the wealth, people that have wealth, financial wealth. Let's just say that have more than enough. And then you have the poor. One don't know how they're going to make it from day to day. And the jobs are available, but they just wasn't hiring at the time. But the rich person can still make it through, while the poor man, woman is having a time, because it won't be long. It'll be another day going without. And that's a tough situation to be in, brother. So
now you raise a good.
That's. Now go ahead.
You raise a good point there, my friend. So now, the argument is that's why you should. I don't want to say hate, but you should have an issue with the rich, because somehow they always the one that when trouble comes can make it, but. Can everybody be rich, if they wanted to? I mean,
well, I would say they can be rich, and it doesn't have anything to do with whether they want to be or not. Some people can be rich because being rich does not always come in financial wealth. You know, there's a person that could be financially able to do a whole lot of things that money can buy, but they don't have. Something that would cause them to have peace.
I see.
And then you would think that they would have peace with all that money. But
right.
Not always. And then you have a poor man that can have peace and he can be rich, you know, in just having that. You know.
Gotcha.
It's amazing, brother. Here's the thing.
We have to, you don't have to, but I would argue that it would be helpful for everyone that is in the United States of America, understand that this is a capitalistic society. That's how our economy is run. There are laws, regulations, and policies that shape your everyday life based on economic factors, right? And that being said, the question becomes, how does one position themselves to where they can be the have not? Now, we see even Jesus said the poor you're going to have always with you, but me you're not going to. But now, the truth of the matter is that when you're born, aren't we all born with the same ability to produce and to acquire the economic or material wealth in America? Or is it true that somebody or something is stopping individuals from doing that?
Yeah, but now, hey, Pastor Doctor, look at here. This is real genuine. When I say genuine, I like what the word says about things that we have to deal with that we don't even know. I'm going on when I had no knowledge of it. I'm going to use that for an example.
Okay.
But it didn't take away from that it said it. It's just that I didn't know that it said it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in there and it's written that when I was hungry, I'm not hungry. What does that mean? It means sound like I need something to eat. But what are you going to do that you know that I'm hungry? And you got plenty. It's not something that you're wondering. You see me out here not only hungry, I'm starving and I'm begging, and I don't have no sign in my hand that says I would work for food. But you know that I'm hungry. Not for some physical food. I need to learn how to feed my spirit. I am starving for a change in my life. That's a form of hunger, you know, and it had nothing to do with the physical food. So there's two ways of being hungry, spiritually and physically.
Oh. All right.
If you're hungry in both ways, man, physically and spiritually, you're hungry. So which one, it goes back to what we were saying the other day, which one are you going to go with if the person comes to here and says, well, let me feed you, and you'll be waiting, excited about it, knowing you're getting ready to eat, and they try to feed you some spiritual food? Man, how is that going to work, you know? And it's something
now
that you need. Huh?
What if I'm so sick, Pastor, that I even throw up the very food that you give? You're trying to feed me. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm so messed up that I, you know, what about that then? But see, that's where it is, Brother Preacher. Too often we meet good people that find themselves so infirmed with guilt, with doubt, you understand what I'm saying, with hurt and pain,
mm-hmm.
that you see them, that spiritual, even that natural nourishment, but they just throw it right back up there.
Yeah.
You understand what
I'm saying? Yeah, man, been hungry for so long, man. Sometimes you'd be so excited, yeah. Can't wait to get it, you know, but then, you know, it's a tough situation, man. It is. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, so what it suggests in the picture is that when we come even to feed the hungry, we have to understand that you can't just pump it all in them at once.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Sip on some food or something easy to digest. You understand?
That's right. You know, like a babe desires a sincere milk of the word, you know, and just like food physically, you know, haven't had it in a while, so let me just take it slowly. Let me get me a little taste of it.
There you go.
And
there you go.
And that's it.
Slowly but surely.
That is
slowly
it.
But surely. Yeah,
but at least, but at least be concerned. But at least be concerned. That's the thing that I'm saying.
That's right.
It will make the world a better place there, believe me. Make the world a better place there. I'm serious. And that's just something that I said. It's not like I've experienced it. I just know that I said it, and I can see, you know, the peace in it. It's like we're all in this thing together. We got to work it out. Okay? So we all, the rich and the poor alike, we're all in this thing together.
Right.
Picture that. And that's
right.
When you see great harmony, man, and you see lives begin to understand, you know, that we both have something in common. We're all in this thing together, and that's when we learn to work it out. And that to me is a solution just waiting to be saved. Saved, that solution. And that's one of the most powerful solutions on this earth, man, you know, because, you know, that person that's not wealthy, that's poor financially, could be a great help to a person, man, who's wealthy and have the means to do more than they're doing for the one who is not. And I think that's the nature of having a heart. You know, if we don't have a heart, man, we're not going to do it. We're going to sit there and look at the person and make them feel less than what they already are. And that's a tough situation to be in. It is.
Yeah.
And it's nothing about your excuses or anything like that. It's just the truth. The truth is that we are all in this thing together.
Right.
We have to learn to work it out. It's learn to do that. Now, go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Does tough love come in there at all, Pastor? If so, where? Where do you take your brother?
Does what come in there?
Tough love.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible
says, yeah.
Find your brother in a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Confront him.
If you're spiritual, you got to be spiritual to do that, though. Yeah, that's what he said. We who are spiritual.
Don't let them keep on
right.
going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you see them wrong. You see them out of pocket. Confront him.
Yeah.
Now, you
confront
do that.
In the spirit of meekness.
Well, yeah. You do that constructively. Yeah. But you don't let him keep on.
Mm-mm. No, what's going to make it work, though, Pastor, I believe what's going to make it work is when you have to consider yourself being in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't mm-hmm. you know, if I was in that situation, would like someone to give me the knowledge and and that means that it can be inspiring. But in the meantime, you know, what do you do for the right then and there? And that's the key to it. When it comes down to the wealthy, I'm just talking about those that are wealthy, that are capable of doing certain things. Sometimes you may not have anything but to give them, like Peter and John, you know, when they seen the man, you say, silver and gold have I none. But what that I have, you know, he just gave them the instruction on what to do. You know, rise up and walk. Your man got to step in. So, you know, so that can be something that's to be considered.
Right,
man,
Help man, is not always material in nature, is it? Sometimes it's
not at all. Yeah, without a doubt, man. That's just hands down. Brother, it's so amazing, man, to just think about what life could be like when you have two people, on the same accord, the rich and the poor alike. Man, that would be something, though. You would see a change of how they treat one. You mm-hmm. see a lot of that. So mm-hmm. compassion has to do with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so in this context of conversation, and I was talking earlier about some of the stuff that's going on in big cities like Chicago and New York and California, Portland, out there, out in off the East Coast in Maryland, Baltimore, and Philadelphia, and what have you, places like that, all over. It's not mm-hmm. so much to say that it's an issue with helpless conditioning as it is that there. Let me rephrase that. It is a conditioning. I do believe, and I've been saying that it's a social conditioning, right? But the solution does not necessarily require a whole lot of money to fix it. And that's what some people would argue. We need money. We need money.
Yeah.
But really,
what
you really need is the compassionate spirit to meet folk where they are, tell them the truth.
Oh, yeah.
In a loving way, assist them at rising from the heap of their despair. You see what I mean?
Oh, man.
And sometimes that may mean, brother preacher, that may mean you have to tell them no.
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, you know that
without,
I'm hiking, and all I want you to do is give me something to get my next high. Sometimes you have to tell me no, Doctor. No.
Oh,
you can have
it. Oh, man.
You mean, bro. you can't
yeah.
have it. The flesh say, I want it. I want it. I'm hungry. I got to have it.
That's right.
You don't need that.
That's it.
You know. Kind of like Cain and Abel, man. Go ahead. What do you say?
Yeah, that's some of the things that, has to do with the solution. Yes, and also
right.
no need to be utilized when it's necessary.
Yeah.
And when it's necessary. Yeah. Know when to utilize yes as well as no when it's, it's that time.
That's right. I saw this little baby, man, trying to pull from his mama because he wanted to go after his toy that were rolling away from it. And, of course, the mama knew that if he didn't be careful, the child would run out in traffic, man. And look, the baby didn't understand, man. The baby didn't understand. I'm assuming that the mother's conclusion was, I may just have to let that ball go because it's going out in traffic, and it's be unsafe for both of us. The baby didn't understand that, though. So the baby just screamed, had a fit, man. Don't understand the danger pursuing that toy. Something that they think they love, they gotta have. It was dangerous for your mom. I'm trying to keep you safe. No, you can't have that right now. And I don't know if she's later or not, but at that moment the child was just having a fit because it was denied. And that sounds like a lot of people I know, man. They just go crazy. They have a fit when they can't get what they want. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Just go at it, man. I'm telling you, brother. Just like like that.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, these are great grown folk, chronologically grown folk, who when they can't have what they want, man, put their appetite for it above and take
man,
your life.
That is...
That's some heavy stuff there, man. But it's real.
It is. Let's go back to the solution, brother. We will still seek the solution.
Uh-oh. That's what we want now.
Yeah.
What we want. That's what we want. Okay, well, Pastor, guess what? We've come to that time yet again where it's time for us to say goodbye to all friends and family. M-O-N-N-E-Y.
It's that time.
Yeah, but
yes,
I appreciate you sharing with us there and talk straight. We're about at that point, and we can take another relevant word from you, big brother, and wrap it up for tonight.
All right, brother. Well, we just thank God for all those who was listening to the dialogue and things that we were talking about, man, speaking about the solution to a serious problem. And to be able to have a serious problem when there is a solution for that serious problem, it's just about stepping up to it. And I would suggest for anyone who don't know or been doing things on their own for so long, but yet still you're holding the wealth financially, you're able, and then for those that are poor, that's without, just remember that the word of God said, this is the day that the Lord has made. He tells us to rejoice and to be glad in it. Just be glad that you got a chance because you're in the land of the living. And then you still seek his will. That's the thing, he's available. And that's what the solution is that I found out. And I realized that money don't make everything all right. But I tell you what it can do. It can do for someone who's in need of it a lot more if one had a heart to give. You don't know the joy that it'll bring. So I suggest to you to try it one day. And if you need some help, you go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And if you need some guidance, you go to verse 6 and says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path and show you how to give, because he said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And sometimes we just need that push. So I would suggest you try God, man. He's all right. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Doctor. And the world would be a better place. Glory
ain't
to
God. And I'm going to let Tremaine Hoffman take us home, man. We thank you for joining us.
Amen.
On Talk Straight. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight on behalf of our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller. Thank you, sir. And we look forward to seeing y'all next Tuesday where we'll have a special guest sitting there with us. All right, Tremaine, take us home.
What must be done? I'll work and work.